All right, so this fatal shooting out at that ICE facility in Dallas, an investigation is now officially underway. Andy Arena, the former head of the FBI here in Detroit and the executive director of the Detroit Crime Commission, joins us. Andy, it's good to have you back. Here we are. And much of the talk now as this incident turns into an investigation, particularly on the heels of what happened to Charlie Kirk, how much of this is a copycat situation? How much of this is a lone wolf? And how is this maybe tied to some of the other incidents and crimes that are being committed against ICE agents across the country?
Well, good morning, guys. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of rhetoric. The temperature has turned up pretty high, right? And I think the investigation, I just caution everybody, this is not reality TV. This is, not an episode of NYPD Blue. It's going to take a little while to kind of sort this thing out. And, information is already starting to come out about this individual and, some of the evidence that was found. So, I just caution everybody, let's take our time and see what really drove this individual. But kind of what I'm seeing from the initial evidence is this kind of disenfranchised person, a loner, who they're talking to are family, former Boy Scout, members. People don't, the brother said, hey, I haven't seen him in 2 weeks. He hasn't been at the parents' house in a few weeks. So, this is a guy who spends a lot of time online, gaming, online platforms, kind of that disenfranchised personality. So, what drove him, it's going to come out in the wash over the next couple of days.
Andy, the shooter, as you know, died by suicide, so that motive may remain unclear. But investigators right now understand, they executed search warrants at homes tied to him in both Texas and in Oklahoma. So, what type of digital or forensic traces are they most likely chasing at those sites?
Well, obviously they've interviewed family members and friends, but really the key, boy, is going to be the digital footprint.
Uh-huh.
What was he doing online? What was he looking at? What was he saying? What was he posting? What games was he playing? What platforms was he on? So, obviously he's no longer with us. So that's really going to be what's going to paint the picture. It's going to be the interviews, but more importantly, I think it's going to be his digital footprint.
What about this threat from rooftops? It showed up against President Trump. It happened to Charlie Kirk. It happened here too. What can be done to protect high value people, high value places when there are so many rooftops?
So that's a great point. This takes it to a whole nother level, right? When we're talking about the President of the United States, or the next level, obviously some of these events like the Charlie Kirk event. But, this is a federal building. This is not an event. These are locations where federal business goes out all day long, every day. So people are in and out of those buildings, workers, family members, visitors. So you have people coming there to visit, the IRS or Social Security or the VA. It depends on what is inside that building. So, After the Oklahoma City bombing back in 1995, there was a kind of an uptick in building security at all the federal buildings. But it was more for a car bomb, right? Mm-hmm. A truck bomb. So
yeah.
I think it was more like pushing the security out a little bit, but really hardening the buildings, right? So, I don't think that, a sniper attack ever kind of came into play. It's going to have to come into play today. But
from a layman's point, my point, where I don't have the background you do, could you use drones to keep an eye on rooftops now?
You could. I mean, I said this on Kevin Dietz's show yesterday. It's beyond my pay grade, guys. this is something that I don't know that we've ever really thought of. And I think you're going to have to put together a blue ribbon panel and you're going to have to look at all of the technology, everything that's available out there to protect these buildings. But, like I said, this is not something we really, really ever thought of in protecting a federal building, but we better think about it now.
Without spilling all the secrets, because I've always been very interested in what goes on at Quantico. It's just an unbelievable setup, and I'm so interested in it. But when they get this preliminary evidence from an investigation like this and they send it back to Quantico, what are they doing there? What are they looking at in this evidence?
So they're going to send it back to the laboratory division and the engineering. And whatever the evidence that comes in, was it physical? Is it, blood? Is it DNA? Whatever it is, in this case, there'd be a lot of digital evidence that's going to come back, right? So they're just going to be processing it. And, there's a lot of evidence back there. There's backlogs in every lab all across the country. Believe me, this is going to the top of the pile. So they're all the experts are looking at it, whatever their expertise is. They're going through that evidence to try to piece together a better picture of this person. And the other thing they're looking at is, you know, not just what motivated him, you know, is there a possibility that there's somebody else out there that assisted him? So, you know, they've got to put that to bed too.
Speaking with Andy Arena, former special agent in charge of the FBI's Detroit division and current executive director of the Detroit Crime Commission. Andy, you know, from your experience, what early warning signals or maybe red flags might police or intelligence agencies better monitor to catch these potential lone actor, you know, violence before it escalates?
Well, like, you know, if you look at all of the, well, I shouldn't say all, but most of these shootings, if you go back, there were red flags, right? And it was friends and family who just kind of ignored it. Or more importantly, it's going to be the online activity, right? So I think it's friends and family, you know, kind of seeing something, saying something, not worrying about hurting the person's feelings or putting them in a bad position. If you get that not in a pit of your stomach, just speak up. But the other thing is, as I said, is that digital footprint. And that's more difficult because, you know, under the laws of this country right now, law enforcement, especially the FBI, can't be out there just kind of fishing, right?
Yeah.
They've
uh-huh.
got that reasonable suspicion that something's going on for them to take a look at it. So once again, if you see something, let the authorities know.
Always good insight. Andy Arena, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you got it. Again, still early in this investigation, and you know, the backlogs is an interesting point because there is so much that's being investigated at all times. But when you start talking about potential, you know, violent acts against federal law enforcement, that generally will get priority access at Quantico.
Yeah, and they're going to have to really start now at these buildings, watching rooftops and doing some different types of surveillance to watch over these federal buildings. This is not an event. This is a building that's there every day.
Yeah.
So, they didn't look at it before. They're going to have to look at it now.
Andre Bocelli, tickets for you coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. What is going on with the Detroit Tigers? Also, what is going on with a potential shutdown in Lansing? All that and more coming up as we continue this morning here on JR Morning on WJR. Don't go anywhere.